Greetings from the Sun Falls. Happy Radhashtami. Jai. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksuramritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Jadati Sapadantikam Vajami Radham Aravinda Netram Smarami Radham Madarasmitasyam Vadami Radham Karanabhadadham Tato Mamayasti Katirna Kapi Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from the Sun Falls. I said that already. So we'll talk about Sri Radha. Does anyone here remember the first time? What do you mean? Does anybody here remember the first time they heard of Radha? What's needed? What? Headset is always better. Does it? Okay, get me the headset. That is great. I didn't have a headset. Now I should get a headset.
Hi, Krishna. Can you hear me?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. You can hear me good.
Loud and clear.
Okay, great.
Guru Maharaj, I remember the first time I heard of Radharani. This shiny tie here.
Somehow, I can't hear you.
Oh, well.
1 second. I can't hear you. Hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah. Hi, Krishna?
Hi, Krishna.
Yeah, okay.
I can hear you fine.
Okay, say it again.
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
So, for me, the first book I ever read was Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. And on the very first page, or at least in the first couple pages, Prabhupada is talking about Radharani, and he's saying that that if a devotee pleases Radharani and makes a sincere attempt to service, then Radharani immediately presents that devotee to Krishna and says, "This is the best devotee." So it's interesting because it's kind of considered an introductory book, you know, and it was for me. But from the very get-go, Prabhupada is talking about the most dear devotee of Krishna, Srimati, you know, Radharani. So, I didn't think that much about it at the time because I didn't have a context. But at the same time, it also wasn't weird to me, which we might think now.
Well, I think the reason why it's not weird, I think we have some impressions in our previous life that enable us to... All right, folks, everyone got to mute their phone. But we have impressions in our previous life that kind of resound with us. I don't know the first time, but I remember realization I had. I tell people this is I was in college and I had already met devotees, and I was, my major was philosophy. I don't think I was so serious a student. I only became serious as a student when I came to Krishna consciousness. I wasn't serious at all in college. When I, you know, I started to become a devotee, and I remember one day, instead of going to a party, I just stayed back. I didn't want to, you know. And I had a friend of mine brought me the Krishna book for the first time. We didn't have these books. And then I started reading it, and resonating in my mind was the definition of God given in the philosophy killer class, the classic definition of God, that being of which no greater can be conceived. And I was reading it, and I said, this must be Krishna. Because he's Advayam Gyan, he's consciousness, which is everywhere, but he doesn't have the defect of impersonality. I thought, if you take away the, you know, the cowherd boys and the gopis and their loving exchanges, and you just had kind of an amorphous energy, that wouldn't be as great as Krishna. Because Krishna was everywhere without the defect of impersonality. He had loving relationships. But at the same time, I mean, it's a very confidential subject. I just gave a lecture in New York called Sri Radha, her story, songs, and philosophy. Gotta admit, it's a great title. It's got like a beat, doesn't it? Her story, songs, and philosophy. And I was a little apprehensive, you know, but I understood. I'd given so many subjects in that class. I mean, I spoke on psychology of karma. I spoke on environment on consciousness, yoga psychology, humility, drama as yoga, you name it. I spoke on so many subjects, and bhakti is becoming so accepted, and people know Radha and Krishna. So if I don't explain to them what it is, then they're just going to hear the wrong conception. So I went. It was very nice. But I explained that when we try to understand something, you have to have the proper frame of reference to do so. How many times is one thing said and five or six things understood according to people's previous experience? So, therefore, generally speaking, you know, we study the Bhagavatam from cantos 1 to 9, and then comes the 10th canto. Okay, thank you. And then comes the 10th canto. And I make this point many, many times. Why? To give us the frame of reference to hear about Radha and Krishna and understand pure love instead of pure lust. If you don't have the proper knowledge, you'll think it's mythological. You'll hear it, but they'll be like, this is cartoon. And if you don't have the proper detachment, which comes from the cultivation of knowledge, you may see it as mundane. Oh, this is real, but it's just like me and my amorous affairs, or what I know of amorous affairs. But at the same time, someone who is
expert at presenting it, couched in the proper frame of reference, the proper understanding will come through, and that was Prabhupada's expertise. From the very, very beginning, he talked about Radha and Krishna. Maybe not the most intimate part, but he talked about the rasa dance and various things, but it was always couched in an understanding. So that when we see that, we will see love, not sense gratification. When I'm in Vrindavan and I go to the places of Parikram, and you tell the stories, when you have a particular bhav or devotional mood, it gives you the frame of reference to understand it in the proper way. So, and therefore, even Prabhupada, and I also told this many times, if you ever, even the Prabhupada, you know, one of the first books he got out real quickly was the Krishna book, which was quite a masterpiece because it was a mixture of the stories and commentaries in prose. It's brilliant. And if you actually look at it, there's practically nothing in the Bhagavatam that's not in the Krishna book, including the commentaries. They're woven in to the, and you get a very, very charming perspective. And then with Prabhupada's philosophical acumen added. And when you hear that, and you hear it with faith means the proper experience, the proper realization. You hear it with faith, then it's recommended to hear to actually free you from the material desire of lust. And the Bhagavatam, when they're discussing these pastimes, what does it say? Vakri Dittam Vrajavadubhya Idam Chavishnu Vraja Vikradam Vrajavadubhya Vakri Dittam, the play Vrajavadubhya of the gopis in Vrindavan Shradhan Vito Nushrinya Vatam. What is it? That it actually destroys material desire. In fact, in the commentary of the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that, I forgot what he said, but it was a very interesting point. How embarrassing. Not embarrassing, I'm not embarrassed, but frustrated. It was such a great point. If I can get that first canto. What did he say? He called it spiritual. He said, if people don't understand spiritual sex psychology, then they'll become overcome with material sex psychology. And that's a fact, that you have the greatest renunciants. You know how strict it was in classical India. Renunciants couldn't even hear the voice of a woman. The culture was already set and accepted in a particular way. Right? And when Prabhupada came to America, he let women into the ashrams, which is kind of unheard of. But he saw there was a different social setting, a different way that people looked at things. And if he wanted to preach, he'd have to make some accommodation for the social language of people. You have to do that. Otherwise, if you want to take the classical model as we somehow understand it, you know, and try to spread Krishna consciousness through that only, you'll turn off half of the population and a great deal of the other population. And in terms of the conservatives, they're already Christian evangelists, and they're not going to hear about this either. Of course, there's a proper way to do it, a proper understanding. Prabhupada had that balance. of explaining Radha Krishna, explaining in the proper way, making the adjustments, making it in the proper way. Prabhupada was empowered. We can't imagine how he's empowered. And it wasn't an intellectual thing. It was Krishna moving through him. There's a famous verse. I don't know where the verse is, but it says, Vyas may or may not know. He's the author of the Vedas. He may or may not know. What does it mean, he may or may not know? He may or may not know what he's talking. It's truth. He may not even understand how. Because it's a different platform. He's a vehicle in which it flows through him. It's not exactly an intellectual thing. It doesn't deny that aspect when it's necessary, but it's not absolute aspect. It's not the intellectual. It's not the absolute. There's something else flowing. And I feel that, very frankly, with Prabhupada. I mean, that's my faith. I'm expressing my faith. That something flowed through him that allowed him to make incredible, out-of-the-box decisions on so many various subjects. Now let's get to Radharani. It's very prominent in our tradition. Other Vaishnav tradition, as far as I know, Nimbark has Radha and Krishna. Very, very prominent for the four Kumaras. But in our tradition, we not only have Radha and Krishna, but we have a speciality or a partiality towards Radha. You want to hear, this is what Prabhupada says about this. You'll be shocked. This is Prabhupada's conception of Krishna. Srimati Radharani is the center of all Vrindavan's activities. In Vrindavan, Krishna is the instrument of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan still chant Jai Radhe. From Krishna's own statements given herein, it appears that Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan, and Krishna is simply her decoration. Now, if I said that in a class, I'd be hung up. If I didn't say it was a Prabhupada quote, imagine that. And Krishna is simply Radharani's decoration. The hoods would come out, the crosses. The lynching. Let's read some Prabhupada on Radha. Isn't that sweet? Devotees taking advantage of Krishna's compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray for Radharani's compassion. If everyone is attracted to Krishna, and Krishna is attracted to Radharani, we can just imagine the position of Radharani. We should try to understand her and offer our obeisances, saying, say this in your mind, Radharani, you are so dear to Krishna. You are the daughter of Vrishabhanu and are Krishna's beloved. We offer our respectful obeisance unto you. Radharani is very dear to Krishna. And if we approach Krishna through the mercy of Radharani, we can easily attain Krishna. Lost my place. Now listen to this. If Radharani recommends a devotee, Krishna immediately accepts him, no matter how foolish he or she may be. In Vrindavan, all the devotees pray for the mercy of Radharani, the pleasure potency of Krishna. Radharani is the tender-hearted form counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to sincere devotees. And once Radharani recommends such a devotee to Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. Radharani, the topmost symbol of bhakti, is so powerful she has purchased Krishna. Therefore, Vrajavasis take shelter of the lotus feet of Radharani, where she recommends, oh, here is a nice devotee. Krishna must accept him. We should be more interested in Radharani, for however fallen we may be, if somehow or other we can please Radharani, we can very easily understand Krishna. You know what Bhakti Siddhanta says about Radharani? One time, maybe it was the king of Bharatpur or something, some big king came to Vrindavan. Then he came to Radhakund. Radhakund is the highest place. Him, I will one day take you to Radhakund. There's something, you know, when you go to Radhakund, I mean, I remember the first time I bathed in Radhakund. I was with two of the heaviest sannyasis in the world. And it was midnight, and we staying right by Janava Baitik, I remember. And somehow, no, on the other side, and we took a bath. It wasn't now where it's like you can't even get near the water. There's so many people there. It's midnight. And I bathed with those persons. And at that time, there was really a hierarchy. I mean, if someone was 2 years senior than you in a sannyasi, you were nothing. I was just a humble, I'm glad I grew up that way, the humble brahmachari. They were the maharajas. One was Nrisinga Maharaj. He's a good friend of mine. And he's from Texas. He's tall. I always used to call him Davy Crockett because he would carry his dunda like a musket over his shoulder. And he was kind of like a heavy. And the other one was Yasodhanandana Swami. I mean, these were the heavies. When we bathed in Radhakund, it was as if our false egos were in puddles at our side. It was like, just imagine a person that you knew takes a bath and then all their false ego is gone. You can't even recognize them. Sometimes when we do our japa meditations, we get deep into the japa meditations and all that static of me, mine, I, it all goes for a little while. And then we come out of the meditation and how quickly our mind reconstructs the false ego and everything else about it. It was unpuddled. So this Diwan, this king, he was doing Dandavat Parikram of Radhakund. So they came back to Bhakti Siddhanta. And they told Bhakti Siddhanta, they said, you know, this king is taking Dandavat Radhakund. Bhakti Siddhanta said, yes, but he's not doing it in our mood. They said, what do you mean? His mood is Radhakund is so exalted because she's the best devotee of Krishna. But we only care for Krishna because Radharani loves her him so much. We only care for Krishna because Radharani loves him so much. I wish I had like Skype. You could see me in my full Sahajiya Bhav here. My full boat, but I'm going back to Vrindavan soon. Vrindavan. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one time some of his followers were gathering and he said, they asked him, if you had one place where you would like to do your bhajan for the rest of your life, where would it be? You know what he said, Paramananda? What?
Kurukshetra.
Kurukshetra Vaidhi Bhakti. Guru Chetra Paini Bhakti. Yada yada hidamasya glanir bhavativa. Yeah, he said Kurukshetra. He said Kurukshetra. So he was surprised. Why Kurukshetra? Ours is Krishna at home. Krishna means God at home. His full Kila Rasa Mrita Murti, his full embodiment of love. Right? When he leaves Vrindavan, he covers his personality by his position. I don't want anyone to see my intimate side as lover, as friend, as child, because they need and want to respect me as the king or god. So to satisfy their needs and their relationship, I will cover up my intimate side. So at Kurukshetra, he covers up, he's the king, and he speaks the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, he's also intimate with his friend Arjuna. He said, Kurukshetra, why? He said, because it's Radharani's greatest moment of need. Why is it her greatest moment of need? Because the pastime of Kurukshetra. Radharani comes to see Krishna after 90 years. And she comes to Kurukshetra. And when she comes to Kurukshetra to see Krishna, she's feeling so much separation from Krishna. And then when she meets Krishna, Rajave, she has the dress of a king. He's surrounded by all his soldiers. And therefore, a curtain is covering his intimate side as her lover, which cannot be expressed in such a public position of authority. So Krishna is there, but her lover is not. And she's feeling so much separation that she wants to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. And that's what the Ratha-yatra festival, that's why Jagannath is such a high deity. Why do you think that Lord Chaitanya worshipped Jagannath? Because it's such a high deity. It's the deity of Krishna in separation from Srimati Radharani. But she's not only in separation from him, he's in separation from her. She's there. The full embodiment, the full capacity to love, which is manifest in the full capacity to please, with the most wonderful fragrance and the most wonderful form and the most wonderful quality. So we know when Lord Chaitanya was dancing in Ratha-yatra in Kurukshetra and his internal moods were churning in the mood of Radharani, he was looking at the Jagannath deity and saying, it is the same moonlight night of the month of Chaitra, the same sweet Malati breezes are blowing in the air. But I am not satisfied here. I want you back in the days of my youth. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to be there in Kurukshetra. He said, because I am Radhika Dasyam. I am the servant of Radharani. And what is a servant? Servant means, as Jiva Goswami defined happiness, real happiness. If you're a lover, if you're a servant, real happiness is the happiness of the object of your service. Real happiness is the object of your love. Real happiness is Krishna's happiness. That's devotee. That's real happiness. If happiness is love, then your happiness is the happiness of the object of your love. It's such a great concept of happiness. And it's exemplified in the devotees in Srimati Radharani. That's why Krishna says, one is my devotee, is not my devotee. One is a devotee of my devotee. Because it indicates, devotee of my devotee indicates that you are looking at the world through the eyes of service. And when you look at the world through the eyes of service, then when you see Radha and Krishna, you'll understand, this is what I am doing. It is only service, and it's the most beautiful service. And it won't have a tinge in your mind that it's the burning of lust that these forms exemplify in the world. One time, I was visiting my friend Advaita, also known as Professor Bryant. I was staying in his house. When I was staying in his house, he had just come back from Vrindavan, where he was serving his guru, who was an old, old, old Vaishnav, very, very old and scholarly Vaishnav. So somehow or other, some Western devotees, probably alienated ISKCON devotees, came to ask him questions every night. So Advaita had them translated, and there was 50 pages of questions to this learned sadhu. Anyway. So they asked him, what about Manjari Bhav? The Manjaris are the youngest gopis, not yet mature, and they're so intimate they can enter into the forest bowers with Radha and Krishna without them becoming a bad. How intimate are they? So in our life, that mood is very much appreciated because it's selfless. They never want to be enjoyed personally. They only want to serve. Even if Krishna grabs them, they're servants of Radharani. Such of you have such their prayers as they pray with the red black Radharani of your lotus feet. Please cure this servant who is near dead with the snake bite of separation from you. So they looked at him. And when they looked at him, Come in. Let's stay here. I'm giving class now. You want to sit for class or you want to? We'll be right here. I'm in the center here. We've got some distinguished visitors here. Hey, but Leela? Can you see those vases there? If you have up there on top of my thing, if you have time today, if you could make some vases of flowers for Radharani. You see, no, over there, the glasses. See the glass thing? Yeah, any of them. If you could fill them, one of them with flowers or two of them with flowers. Can you do that? Okay. By 10:15 or something. Oh, if you want, take one now. Yeah, make one. Thank you. Shut the door. So they asked him, they're on the edge of their seats, Babaji, what about Manjari Bhav? His answer was, you like hearing about young girls. He just wasn't into it. Because he looked at their frame of reference, and that's what they would hear. He said, it's not a form. I remember he said, it's not a form. It's a bhav. It's Manjari bhav. It's the bhav, the mood of selfless service. And the mood of selfless service takes the most beautiful form. Now, a little bit of Radha Tattva, the science of Radha. So explain something like this. I love Gaudiya Vaishnava conception of the absolute reality. Sometimes I call it the Cha-Cha Tattva. 1-2-1. 1-2-1. It's like a dance. 1-2-1. 1-2-1. There is one. It's absolute reality. Nothing can be outside of the absolute reality. Are not we honored that we're a part of God? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Almost in a sense, God would not be God without us. Because he'd be missing a part. He wouldn't be everything. We are part of God. So we have the simultaneously significance and insignificance, worth and worthlessness. We're just a part of God, but we're a part of God. And a part has a function of service. So God is everything. He's also for pleasure, for love. He's Shakti, Shaktiman. He's the possessor of all energy, and he's energy. And energy is meant to please its source. So Radha is considered the Purna Shakti. She's the full potency. There's, of course, there's Ladini Shakti. There's the pleasure potency. The essence of the pleasure potency is Krishna Prema, love for Krishna. What does that mean, love for Krishna? I want you happy. I want you pleased. You are my life. Without you, I have no life. Real love. What does that feel like in the heart? And when that real love... Oh, thank you, Leela. How beautiful. You want to get another one? Yeah. You can put the one down that you did and then get more. Okay? What is real love? And the object of your love is real. And the object of your love is eternal. And the object of your love is most dear. Because it's the soul of your soul. When that sense, that mood of Shakti or energy to serve the source heightens to the highest degree, that's called Mahabhav. And Srimati Radharani is Mahabhav Sarupini. She's the embodiment of that. So there's a connection here between three things if you want to understand Radharani. One, pleasure. Two, love. Because pleasure is love. There's no other pleasure besides love. Selfless love. That's energy of God. And when you really have love and you really have pleasure, that energy is in your heart. And spiritual life means to clean your heart and to increase your desires so that energy will come to your heart and flow through your heart. That's bhakti or devotion. That's Radha, energy. So there's two things. There's pleasure and there's love. And then there's beauty. Because when you want to please, you offer the best. So Radharani, in that Mahabhav Sarup, it's also the embodiment and full capacity of love and beauty. But the qualities of beauty are a manifestation of love, and therefore they're very sweet. Sometimes people have karma, they enjoy sex life or something, and then they get a body for that. And their body becomes a manifestation of lust. If you see beauty that's manifest from piety and beauty that's manifest from lust, the forms may be similar, but you cannot compare the form born of lust to the form born of beauty. When there's beauty and piety at the same time, you cannot compare. So Radharani is the embodiment of beauty. And it's an offering, a manifestation of love. How beautiful is Radharani? Her face, the feet, surpasses the beauty of a blue lotus flower. Her smile, and her face that surpasses, devours the beauty of a forest of blue lotus flowers. And her luster puts gold in a painful situation. Ujjala Nilamani. And what is her fragrance? Her fragrance is she hides from Krishna in a Stala Kamala forest. Stala Kamala is land lotus. My speculation is that it's magnolias. Because magnolias are just the most fragrant flowers. A forest of magnolia trees. Krishna is walking 300 yards away and he goes like this. What is that beautiful smell? How fragrant is Radharani? And she's expert in everything. She's a scholar in the art of garland making. We have Nitai Priya, Amma's daughter, Leela Manjari, making different vases for Radharani today. Hey, Leela, look around the property. See if you can get bigger flowers. I saw over there some real big ones in the back there. Okay? Expert in garland making, and it just reminds me of this really sweet story of Prabhupada. Prabhupada came out of his house in Vrindavan, and I was in Vrindavan where Prabhupada came out of his house to maybe three people there. Because no one stayed in Vrindavan. We can't imagine it, but no one, outside, inside, ISKCON, SISKCON, no one stayed in Vrindavan. The guest house, the Krishna Balaram guest house, was completely empty. The Prabhupada had us advertise on billboards. Now you're lucky during Kartik to find one room. So Prabhupada came out and the devotees offered him a garland. And the garland had these very popular white flowers, they're a little bit beautiful, but there's no fragrance. And you can put a needle and a thread through the stem and make a simple garland, just 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. And they were wilted a little bit on the end because they had bought them outside. And when they gave Papa the garland, his face curled in distaste. Why did his face curl in distaste? Because he was training his disciples in bhakti. And bhakti, or love, means to offer the best. How is that bhakti? Not only is it not nice, you didn't even make it yourself. So Prabhupada called, actually at that time, all the ladies into his room, and Prabhupada taught them how to make garlands. Now, if you go in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, there'll be 30 ladies on the side making all these intricate garlands. So Radharani has the, she's poetic, she's witty. What does her cooking taste like? Cooking is a manifestation of your heart. You should cook for someone. When you cook for Krishna, and you cook for the devotees, and you cook for someone you love, do not you make it fragrant, colorful, tasty, the right texture? And if that food is eaten, if someone cooked for you or cooked for Krishna in that way, don't you, when you experience the fragrance, the color, the taste, the touch, don't you feel the love? Isn't it a transformation of love? So Radharani, every day she goes from her home in Jawit, in Vrindavan, so goes to, from her home in Jawit, walks through Ter Kadamba, comes to Nandagram, takes off her alankar, her ornaments. She has so many beautiful ornaments. But what are her ornaments? Her ornaments are her. They're Mahabhavsaru. It's Krishna, I want to please you, ornament. The jewels are a manifestation of her love. She only wears them to please the senses of Krishna. She takes off the ornaments because she's going in cooking. Then she's left with the avaram. Avaram is the, helper. Wow, great. Okay. Put them up there. Okay. And Leela, if you want to come back, Paramananda will get you. We'll have a little Abhishek here. Okay? So, she takes off, and she has her avaram decoration. She has a toy lotus sometimes. She has a lotus in her hand. Sometimes she spins the lotus. When she spins the lotus, you know what that means? And Krishna comes. This is your heart. This is your heart. Sometimes it's her heart. The toy lotus, spins the toy. But she has different sandalwood paste paintings on her. So beautiful. She goes into the kitchen, and the kitchen has 100 chulis. These clay stoves, and all the brudge vegetables are cut up because the manjaris and the gopis have gone there first to book. Radharani is not married to Krishna, but she has the benediction from Durvasa Muni that whatever she cooks will be unparalleled in taste, and whoever eats it will be prosperous and long-lived and happy. There's somehow or other Krishna, Yasoda, and Nanda petition that Radharani could do that service. They're not mixing, she's just a cook. Any of that happens all the time. You have a hired cook or some cook, you know, they in the kitchen. So she comes. Now you can imagine this scene. She comes and she sits and she looks at the whole thing and sees all the different preparations. And then, never measuring, Henry's listening. His kitchen still has the plan of Jamuna where to hang all the different pots and a little board to have like little. And Jamuna would never use measuring. It was just like in your hand, little faith in Krishna there, and sprinkle it in. Radharani would put in the vegetables in each pot. She'd go around like 100 preparations, like sprinkle this, sprinkle that, put these vegetables, saute it at the right thing. And sometimes in the summer in Vrindavan, we know in the Guinness Book of World Records, the hottest inhabitable place on Earth, recorded temperature, was in Govardhan. Because unless you have bhakti, who will live on the side of a mountain in a desert in the middle of the summer? Like living near a heater. How hot it was, Radharani felt so cool. Then she would go back to Chawit. She'd start feeling separation from Krishna and she'd start burning. And her sakis would make a bed of cool lotus leaves, and they'd put like a foot of sandalwood paste and another layer of cool lotuses and some sandalwood paste. And Radharani would try to relieve her burning, and she was burning. In the kitchen, she was cool. In the sandalwood paste, she's hot, because the symptom of prema is that in the association of your beloved, the worst pain and distress seems like the greatest happiness. And in separation from your beloved, the greatest happiness seems like the worst pain. So all Radha Rani, Sri Radha's qualities, they're so exquisite. They're so charming. They're the embodiment of beauty because they're the embodiment of an ontological desire to please. And therefore, when devotees meditate on the qualities of Sri Radha, they feel selfless love and devotion. And what's the 25th quality of the Radha? Yeah, this is the one you'd want to forget. She always keeps Krishna under her control. Krishna is known as Madan Mohan. Madan means Cupid, because Cupid wanted to bewilder Krishna and took his aim. And Krishna is so stunning, he began to shake and collapsed. So Krishna became known as Madan Mohan. Krishna was proud, I defeated Cupid. And then Radharani came by and Krishna went, ah, So Radharani became known as Madan Mohan Mohini. So the full capacity, how beautiful is Radharani? Siddhit Suvarna Champaka Padita Gora Vigrahe Papa Kapapasti Koti Sharadenda Mandale Vichitta Chitta Santaracha Kola Shavalochane Tada Karistis Dihava Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam Padita Gora Vigrahe. Her complexion. Padita Gora Vigrahe, her form, Gora, her fair complexion. Padita is glistening. Suvarna, Champa, Padita like lightning, like gold, and like Champa. What is her complexion? Glistening, it's fair. Like lightning, like gold, like champak flower. Prabha, Mukha, Prabha, Prabhastakoti. And her face has a Prabha, an influence, like millions of moons as her eyes are going back. And so all these wonderful descriptions. Radharani, the sweetness of her speech, her compassion, she is sweetness personified. She's always freshly youthful. Her eyes are always moving. She's always brightly smiling. She possesses all auspicious marks on her body. Meditate on her now. She makes Krishna happy with her bodily aroma. She is expert in the art of singing. In the rasa dance, Krishna gets in the middle, starts playing his flute on the fifth note. It goes higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. And then Radharani sings even higher than that. And everyone goes, sadhu, sadhu, that is great. She is expert in joking and speaking pleasantly. She is very humble and meek. She is always merciful. One little calf cut its mouth on a piece of bamboo. Radharani just embraced her. She is cunning. Now Radharani is cunning. She's meeting Radha and Krishna meeting. And then Jatila, Radharani's mother-in-law, is coming, and they have to separate. Radharani breaks her necklace so that she can go on the ground and pick up the jewels and have one more last look at Krishna. She knows how to dress nicely. She's shy, respectful, calm, grave, situated on the highest platform of love. She is Chief Gopi. Now, the story that exemplifies the glories of Radharani is, of course, the Bhagavad. And it's mentioned, clearly mentioned, that the Bhagavatamrita, I don't have time to tell the whole story, but Ramananda Samvad, which is the discussion between Sri Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, who is like a Siksha Guru to Lord Chaitanya. He has so much depth of understanding. As we understand, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God. God wanting to become his best devotee. So we have the concept, this is 1-2-1, that God is absolute reality, energy that's expanded everywhere. For pleasure and love, he's expanded into two, is Radha and Krishna. And because the lover has higher experience than the beloved, because selflessness is a higher pleasure, it's a higher pleasure to be the lover than the object of love. To get love is pleasure. Still giving class. What? I'm going to do some kirtan too. You don't have any kirtans there?
Upstairs. I'll bring them back after. Oh. If we can't do it.
Okay,
right.
Take the cartel. We're cooperating.
Right.
I know what happens if you don't get those cartels.
Yeah.
It's a little transcendental community here. What?
You guys are coming up.
Yeah.
Prayers. I'll bring them back.
Forget that. Okay, we'll figure it out. It's a little transcendental community. I'm having my own little thing here, and Baladev came from across the street. There's a little kirtan going on there, and then we'll soon join. But let me just explain. I wanted to tell this story. You have to understand. In Ramananda Samvad, okay, we're going to end soon. But Ramananda Samvad, it's in Lord Chaitanya, 1-2, he separates. The lover enjoys more. So for God to become complete, he has to become his best lover. The story of Chaitanya is God searching for love of Godhead. Where does he go? He has to go to Guru. He doesn't have love. God is the object of love. So to get that love, he has to go to the devotee. Then he's not manifesting love of God until he meets Ishvara Puri. And then he's advancing in those sentiments and cultivating those sentiments. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibits the mood of Radharani and shows us how we develop that love. It's a bit esoteric. But then he has Siksha Guru. He's learning further. So he goes to Ramananda Roy. Then he asks him, what is the topmost verse? And they begin discussing different verses, and Lord Chaitanya wants to go further. And then finally it comes to the love of the gopis. And how is the love of the gopis explained? It's explained in words for Krishna, telling the gopis, basically, I made a promise that I can't even fulfill, because in Bhagavad Gita I said, however a devotee surrenders to me, I reward them accordingly. But your love is so great, napadayeham, I cannot repay you. You'll have to be satisfied with love itself. Because you only love me. I'm loving all living entities. Your love is so great. What can I give you more than the highest love? Does anybody here want anything more than the highest love? You probably be misdirected. The highest love. What can you want more than the highest love? That's why bhakti is the top path, because that's what we're after. And that's why we're following Radha. And that's why we're hearing about her. And that's why we're serving her. We want pleasure, and pleasure is the highest love. So how does Krishna replay the highest love? Napadayeham, I cannot repay you. You'll have to be satisfied with the love itself. So what is the love of the gopis? But what Krishnadas Kaviraj reveals in Chaitanya Charitamrita through Ramananda Roy, which is not clear in the 10th canto, is that Krishna leaves the rasa dance because Radha leaves. So he makes the point there. What is the extent of her love? Krishna's desire in the rasa lila is perfectly complete. And Srimati Radharani is the binding link in that desire. The rasa dance does not shine in the heart of Krishna without Srimati Radharani. Therefore, he gave up the circle of the rasa dance and went out to search for her. Since Krishna's lusty desires were not satisfied even in the midst of thousands of gopis, and he was thus searching after Srimati Radharani, we can easily imagine how qualified she is. Therefore, we want to serve her because she has the full capacity to please Krishna. And if we want love, we want the happiness of our beloved. It's not about ourselves. That's our objective. So in the rasa dance, we know, and I'm just briefly, Krishna blows his flute. And the flute, I think tomorrow, when I go to Raghunath's place, we're going to have a Radhashtami celebration. Raghunath moved up here now. That's 30 minutes away. Somehow something's happening here. People are moving up. We're going to go to his house. And I'll do part two. And I'll say part two very briefly. Beautiful. As Krishna desires to enjoy the love of his topmost devotees, the moon rises and the sky becomes red, like a wife who is waiting for her husband and decorates herself with kumkum. Krishna blows his flute. And the love of his heart is expressed. And it enters the hearts of his devotees. And they hear his love for them. Imagine if you love someone and you hear their love for you amplified in the most beautiful music. And it enters into your heart. And you feel their love and you feel them calling. And they leave everything. Now, if you read this without the right frame of reference, you can come up to all sorts of conclusions. And if you follow it, you can ruin your life. Mothers are breastfeeding their children, they leave them down. They're cooking in the kitchen, they leave the pots. They run out so quickly, they put the top parts of their clothes on the bottom and the bottom on the top. I don't even want to imagine what that looks like. And they run out to see Krishna. And then Krishna, in the mood of rasa, heightening the love to the highest degree, tells them this is not proper. You're Madhyamana. You have the most beautiful thin waist, which is the emblem of beauty for a young girl. And I'm a young boy. Go back to your husbands. And they look very shyly at the environment. Oh, Krishna says, you came for sightseeing in the night. Now you see all the sights, go back. Anyway, it's a very dangerous forest, and they're really shocked. Of course, if you understand this deeply, and I've said this before, worshiping God and the desire of God is the universal desire. And it's the ultimate selflessness, because it's service to everyone. But that doesn't mean jihad. Doesn't mean you kill some people. It means love for everyone. And it means benefit for everyone. It's the universal desire. It's our real position to serve God. And the gopis are at the highest stage of spiritual evolution. They run and they say to Krishna, they said, come on, you're not even as good as Narayan, because Narayan says you surrender him, you accept him. We're surrendering fully, you won't accept us. And Krishna has the dance with them, and then somehow, a little bit, then Radha leaves and they're left alone. And they go mad out of love. You see what the highest degree of love is. Madness. They begin imitating the pastimes of Krishna. They begin talking to the trees. They begin talking to the grass. Oh, Krishna must have been here, because I see that the grass is, the hairs of your heads standing on end, and they smell a fragrance. Krishna's here. And then they see some footprints. Oh, there are Krishna's footprints. They begin to follow the footprints, and then they see another pair of footprints. And they're shocked. Aniya radhito nunam Bhagavan Hadir Ishvara Yano Vinaya Govinda Vitam Aniya Rita. Aniya radhito nunam. Aniya radhito. No one else has worshipped Krishna so much. Bhagavan Hadir Ishvara. Because she is capable, Hari, of taking away Bhagavan or Krishna. He has left a secluded place for her. How qualified must she be that Krishna is in the midst of all these gopis? How qualified? Because she is the embodiment and every other gopi is an expansion of her own quality. So how qualified? So we should look at Radha in three ways. The full embodiment of energy, which therefore is the full embodiment of pleasure, which is therefore the full embodiment of love, which is therefore the full embodiment of beauty and quality, and the full capacity to serve Krishna. Jai Jai Srimade Shyam. Anybody have any questions? I just want that someone's still there.
Hare Krishna, someone... Maharaj.
Gail, is that you, Gail?
It is.
You performed that wonderful service of...
taking you out of your anxiety.
Because that one day I was in Puri after my yatra, completely exhausted, laying on the back in my bed and given a great class. with my hands wailing and making all my points. And then at the end of the class, I said, is anyone there? And then I see the phone was off. So I have that samskara of that great tragedy that I was speaking to the four walls.
And your hands.
Yeah. Okay. I think one question from Paramananda.
Yeah. Radharani embodies love of Krishna.
Radharani embodies love of Krishna.
Why did Krishna need Radharani at such also left her?
Why did Radharani?
Why did Krishna also leave Radharani?
Why did Krishna also leave Radharani? Well, one of Krishna's opulence is renunciation. But besides that, it's kind of five more minutes. I can't go on. Why did he leave her? Well, what it says there is Krishna does not like anyone else to think their service is better than anyone else. It's in the realm of rasa. Whatever heightens love, and love is union and separation. So it's the flow of prema. If anything, it's to increase our love and to increase our pleasure. Okay, someone like to say hello?
No more time for questions?
What's that?
No more time for questions?
No more time for questions, Gail. Sorry. I'll have to call you up later today.
Okay.
Okay? Personal.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Kumar.
Kumar, I love these steady people. Every class. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's Chris in Pennsylvania.
Chris. Hare Bo. Maybe you get to eat in Agri today.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm not sure if we're going to make it up there, but it would be nice.
It would be nice. Okay. Well, I'll see you in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Okay.
Yes, you will.
And it was great visiting your house. And the Paramananda, you know, I went to Krishna's house. Me, Haley, and we had a great time. We spent about a half hour there. He also came to my class on our way out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Anybody else want to say hello? Okay. And I'm ending.